Snips and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. You've probably heard that nursery rhyme that I think originated in the 19th century. Now, I know it's just a children's ditty and probably not really intended to be taken seriously, but I think that the questions posed by that nursery rhyme are valid. What are boys made of? And what are girls made of? Is there a difference? And if there is, what implication does that have for our lives?
You're listening to Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, March 6th. Do you understand the hearts of guys? Today, we'll take a look at the unique purpose and design that God gave men. Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian address this topic in the new workbook, True Woman 101, Divine Design. Now, they know this book is a study of true womanhood, but in order to grasp God's design for women, it's helpful to understand how He designed men. Nancy, Mary, and a group of friends are discussing Snips and Snails, Chapter 2, from True Woman 101.
We have some new guests with us this week, and I want to introduce them to you. To Mary's left is my friend Kim Wagner. She's a pastor's wife, a mom, a grandmom, and Kim, we're so glad to have you on our set this time, our table talk. And then in the middle, Karen Loritz, married to Crawford Loritz. He's a pastor and a broadcaster and an author, and Karen and Crawford have been friends for many years, and we're glad to have you mm-hmm. with us, also a mom and a grandma. Mom.
Yes.
How many grandchildren now, Karen?
8 grandchildren. They're
wow.
growing.
Wow, bless you, and we're so glad that you're able to join us. And then to my right, Carolyn McCulley. Carolyn is a filmmaker. She makes, what do you call those?
Documentaries.
But a certain kind that with have social causes.
Yes.
And you have a real heart for people, for issues that need to be surfaced and people need to get greater understanding of. We've been friends for a long mm-hmm. time, and that's mm-hmm. what this True Woman Table Talk is. It's mm-hmm. Mary and me getting to talk with some of our friends, so this yep. is a lot of fun for us. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that as we're talking about guys today, that we have some different seasons of life represented, and we have moms, grandmoms, single women. Mary, you have All sons.
Grown. And they're grown. And I have my first daughter-in-law, which is great. And it just even showed more profoundly how big of a difference there is
yeah,
between
right.
girls and guys.
Yeah. Right, like when you choose movies at
well,
your house?
Like when we choose movies, that's a big one. I mean, I have never been able to watch, like, chick flicks. It's just a big deal.
Just you and the sons. That
okay,
was
let me tell you what, it absolutely floored me. Clark and Jacqueline got married, and Jacqueline was hanging out at our place, and I come home from a shopping trip, and I've got bags in my hand, and came in with the bags, and normally I just go upstairs and put them away in my closet, and I hear this voice from the living room, and Jacqueline's there. What did you buy? I want to see. And so anyway, now that Jacqueline is in our household, every time it's turned into this big joke, because it was just, I was so blown away.
Yeah, right.
That I was asked to interact on what I had purchased. Just so much fun to see that and just to enjoy those differences mm-hmm. in adulthood between male and female and to enjoy those.
Well, I'm so excited we're talking about the differences between men and women today because I love talking about men. That's my favorite subject.
We just witnessed differences right here as we were getting ready
sure
to
did.
Record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Karen and Mary and I were talking about, oh, what color
what
are you?
Color,
what season?
Yeah.
Oh, and, you
it was
know,
such a
I'm
big an, thing, yeah. Can you imagine a husband saying that? Well, what season are you?
I'm like an autumn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so some
so
of the
I can wear orange. You can't. You're not an autumn.
I'm not an autumn. And so some of the men on the engineering crew were standing up here and heard what we were saying, and one of the men turned to the other one and said, what season are you? And another cameraman said, well, are you talking about deer season?
Hunting season. Like, what do you mean?
Differences?
Yeah.
Yep.
Men yeah. are, they are different. A couple of weeks ago, we had our three of our four grandsons at our house, and we went up to a friend's house to take him into the pool to do some swimming. And one of the little guys was jumping off a 10-foot wall into the pool. And I'm screaming, no, no, no. And then the other one jumped and got his foot jammed, had blood, and I'm screaming.
Oh, blood.
Because
that's almost that's, a prerequisite.
That was a
for fun. It's a
boy's
good playtime,
you know.
There's
and
blood.
I'm wanting them to calmly just swim, you know, like my granddaughters. But no, they do the boy's thing.
They
and
do.
I, as,
do the,
as the grandmother, woman screaming because of blood.
Oh, my husband always used to describe our kids, three sons, as, you know, torn between the desire to build and destroy. Like, it's not a good playtime unless yes. something has been built and something has blown up. Like, you need both. And I used to just cringe because I used to go to my girlfriends who had all these little girls, and they were so well-behaved. And they would sit there coloring and, you know, fussing with their little, you know, girl things and their whatever, tea sets or whatever it was, and my boys would be ripping the place apart. The lamps would be falling over, they'd be running. And finally, I just gave up, and I said, you all come to my house, because my house is boy-proof, yours isn't.
Right,
and
yeah.
I was asking myself, am I like a bad mother? Like, they're just so different, and you can't, it's just the way they are. And I mean, I was, feminist movement tried to kind of, you know, neutralize it. It just didn't work.
No. And when we fight against those differences rather than appreciating them and embracing them, mm-hmm. it's really harmful. It's harmful to men.
It's harmful for them. It would be very, very
I remember
harmful.
One story growing up. I'm from a single parent home, and we lived in the projects, and we had these old radiators back then. My little brother would be radiators, you know.
A radiator.
Radiators.
And we would. A northern woman here.
And so I would be cooking toast on the radiator, and my little brother would be crashing cars up against the wall in the home. Mom was trying to sleep. So we saw the differences, and he was like 4 and I was 8. And we saw the differences earlier, but I was cooking and he was banging around. So
My yeah. mother had, in her first 5 years of marriage, 6 children. 3 girls and then 3 boys, and 2 of the boys were twins. And she said, just night and day difference
yes.
between the energy level, the what it took to parent. Of course, the differences when they're children, you know, the boys are more physical and the mm-hmm. girls more verbal. But then you get to the teenage years and you have differences too in terms
yeah.
of the emotions mm-hmm. and the hormones.
And boys become a lot easier in the teenage years, and the girls are, whoa, drama.
Yeah, yeah right. yeah. Well, you grew up with sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my poor dad was the only male in the family. Even the dog was a female. So I think by the time we added brothers-in-law, you know, added sons-in-law to the family, he was really happy. In fact, he and one of my brothers-in-law aligned over the fact that on Father's Day, we don't want any big activities. Leave us alone. We just want to do our own thing. We had an alliance. Like, no more family events. We just want to be in our man cave.
yeah. But isn't that just special? You didn't have to teach the little boys what they're supposed to do with the little girls. You can go into a nursery and you see the differences. Mm-hmm. No one has sat down and taken them to gender 101.
Right.
God that has created them that to be that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
So
it's obvious. Sweet.
Yeah, it's all yeah.
In spite of all the attempts of sociologists mm-hmm. and psychologists mm-hmm. and right. social engineers to say there are no differences. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've had kids or watched kids,
right.
you just know that from the time they're little, those
yeah.
differences
so
start to come
different.
Out.
And, you know, it really grieves me in our culture, having raised men, just how much culture tries to shame the maleness mm-hmm. out of men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that all those things that God has poured into them as such positive, wonderful, wonderful mm-hmm. things, that guys are really shamed so that they're embarrassed to be men.
We had a young woman post on the Lies Young Women Believe blog yesterday. They were blogging about this whole True Woman project we're doing. Mm-hmm. And one of the gals, the young woman, wrote this. She said, could you define why God made guys and girls so different, as in why we think and act so differently?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gets so frustrating. Like, why can't guys see things the same way we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a teenage girl who's saying, why are we different? Why can't we be the same?
We think different.
I am so glad that men and women do think differently. I have been served so well, especially in the workplace, between the differences between men and women, because I would come in and I would be all like, you know, upset about something and ready just, and my boss would just look at me and cut right to the chase. Like, well, this is the issue. Boom, done.
Mm-hmm.
Just the clarity of that. Or the times when I've sought counsel for men and it's just, they hear it, here's a problem, here's a solution, go.
Mm-hmm.
It's more compartmentalized, and I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Right, yeah.
And I appreciate I'm not I'm taking you to the bottom line. I'm not trying to waste time or cut you short, but here we are. Mm-hmm. Now, my brother-in-law has taught my sister, he'll just look at her when she gets going and go, is there a point here?
Yeah.
Is there a point here?
Brent just says, let me make sure that I understand your point.
Yeah. Some of our wildest...
There was no point. I'm just emoting, okay?
Some of our wildest conversations in 40 years of marriage, I can remember... I'm trying to have this discussion we call marital adjustment times with Crawford. And
marital adjustment.
Not arguments. It's called marital adjustment times.
Adjustment.
And we were sitting there, and I have all this information I want to get out, and Crawford just, land the plane, Karen, just land the plane. What is the issue? One issue at a time. And he's helped me because I was all over the place, and it really wasn't helping our relationship. Mm. But it is different how they just keep it, help us focus, yeah. And... can, you know, have the patience to hear our heart, but help us to get right there.
Now, I'm sure some women are sitting here thinking, listening to this discussion and going, okay, you're making women sound dizzy and emotional.
You know what? There's personality differences.
Right.
There are. Mm-hmm. And I tend to be much more of a logical thinker and a linear thinker than a lot of women are. That's just my personality. I tend to clarify things and get down to the point. That, you know, more so than other personalities, but there are physiological differences that are responsible for this. It's the way the two sides of the brain are connected with male and female, and the men are more, I think it's left dominant, where they're just, you know, better at spatial relations and mathematics and those types of the logical, the linear thinking.
And you realize what you're saying is not politically correct, though.
I know it's not politically correct.
People have lost jobs.
People have lost jobs
over making comments like what you
but
just did.
I'm just saying that there's a reason our brains are connected different, and women are more holistic in terms of, and there's greater connection between the hemispheres, and so we tend to look at issues in a much more complex, holistic, relational, global way, and tie into that also our emotions. Mm-hmm. And neither is better or worse. They're just different.
Yeah, I think we have to celebrate the differences. It's not wrong. Differences are just different. They're just different. One of the things that I'm always concerned about in recent days is that we're trying to do away with those differences and make us all the same, and we're not all the same. Mm-hmm. And generalizations are generalizations.
Yeah.
But,
and that's why we need to go back to Scripture. That's our plumb line. Mm-hmm. And say these differences are not, you know,
we didn't dream
results
them up.
Of chance or biological accidents. God dreamed this up.
Yes.
God thought this up. So, you know, back to Genesis, and we see how God created male and female with distinct mission and calling and purpose, both created in his image. So there is equality, but with magnificent diversity, as God has in all of his creation.
Right. In fact, that should always be our starting point when we talk about these differences, is to start first with the fact that there's fundamental equality, because we both carry an image, God, and there's a purpose in doing that.
That's
so even as we look at and celebrate the differences, it isn't to evaluate, which is a human way of thinking. Oh, one's better, one's worse. It's not. The differences are there so that together and working together in community and marriage and family, that these things celebrate a wholeness of God that we can't even begin to consider, because our finite minds can't wrap themselves around who he is.
And that together as male and female, we glorify God, which is what makes us infinitely different than the animals or the plants or the rocks or the anything else in creation, that together we give glory to God.
And I mean, Carolyn, I love that point, because I think ultimately the danger when we talk about differences is to have that us them or one is better than the other, or to think division. Mm-hmm. But that isn't what God is thinking when he's thinking differences. He's not thinking this compartment over here, this compartment over here. Scripture just shows that there's this wonderful complementarity, that the differences actually contribute to the unity and the mutuality, and they contribute to the oneness and the one piece. It's this beautiful picture of complementarity, which is actually intended to image who God is. You have the God who is the triune God, three distinct individuals in terms of who God is, and yet God is one. The overriding thing, God is one. Mm-hmm. God is one. The Shema of the Old Testament, God is one. And that's really the aim, I think, that God had in mind when he created male and female, that you do have these distinctions, but there's a oneness and mm-hmm. an equality and a unity that is absolutely mm-hmm. profound.
Yeah, is it the sovereignty of God that he's the master designer right. of this, yes. male and female?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he knows the whole plan.
It's spectacular.
That's where he mm-hmm. has a plan for each one of us, and we have a purpose and a reason, mm-hmm. and this master designer has a great plan.
It's breathtaking.
And we're going to talk later about how the enemy has messed up this plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Satan came in and created the battle of the sexes, mm-hmm. focusing mm-hmm. on the differences becoming a means of irritation or annoyance or conflict. There, but yeah. we want to go back and see how what God made in those differences mm-hmm. and that equality is good. Mm-hmm. And so as we look at Genesis chapter 1, we see this big picture of the creation. And then we get to Genesis chapter 2, and it's like a replay
yeah,
with
right,
the
yeah.
details coming out.
You know, how appropriate is that for the guys? Like
yeah.
sports replay.
Instant replay.
Yeah. Reel back, zoom in, and we're looking at the guys.
And one of the things that comes out, that, and some of these you don't notice when you're just reading through Genesis the first time, it doesn't stand out as being really significant. But when you get to the New Testament, you realize these things are significant, mm-hmm. such mm-hmm. as the fact that God created the man first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say, like, big deal. But that becomes a big deal in New Testament theology. Mm-hmm. God puts the man in the Garden of Eden. He mm-hmm. commands him to work, to keep it. Mm-hmm. He gives him the rules of the garden and has Adam name the animals. And, Mary, one of the things we reflect on in this chapter is that those details have significance mm-hmm. as to why God created man and what man's male purpose is.
What maleness is all about.
What maleness is all about, yeah.
Yeah. And again, we put it through the grid that we talked about in last session of all of this is for the glory of God, and all mm-hmm. of this is to give that wow factor to showcase who God is. And that's why God created male and female. So we have to put it through that grid when we approach this. But each detail is significant. And I think that God was so very, very intentional in the way he created. I mean, he could have just, boom, here we right. are, male and female. He could have created one sex. He could have created us so that we're just like omni-creatures that pop out like amoebas divide. But there was a message that was right. so important that he wanted us to get it and to actually have it on display everywhere. And that was the mm-hmm. message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the mm-hmm. message about truths who God is. So God creates the male. And have you ever thought about that the male, where the male was created? He wasn't created in the garden. He was created out in the wild. And then mm-hmm. God takes them and he puts them in the garden. Yeah.
Whereas the woman was made in the garden.
So right off, there's a huge difference
picture,
there.
Yeah, yeah mm-hmm. There was a plan.
There was a plan there. Yeah. And then he took man, put him in the garden. I think that's really significant because later in the chapter, we see that a man leaves his place of creation to establish a new family unit. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I really think that's an incredible picture that God created men to take initiative. And that's one of the core aspects of what it means to be a man.
Mm-hmm. And each one of those core aspects is going to correspond to a core aspect of womanhood that we'll talk about in the next yeah. Session. So man, the initiator, mm-hmm. woman, the responder. We'll see woman being responsive. And all of that is pictured in the early creation there.
It really is.
What I love about that picture, too, is that a man is the initiator, but really God is initiating the issue of relationships because we have no record that Adam said, well, where's my partner, or that I'm alone, or anything. It was God who recognized that and God who wanted to institute that relational tightness, that bonding, intimacy, and was mm-hmm. like, okay, now we've gone through all the animals, but now I'm going to bring somebody to you who is your perfect complement. Mm-hmm. And God, who exists in fellowship, wanted to make sure his beings created and would mm-hmm. exist in fellowship too. But I, you know, as a single woman, I take great comfort in the fact that, you know, it's God who notices when a man needs somebody, you know, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. you don't have to worry if everybody around you seems to be oblivious.
And that God has designed women mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. to complement men, and God's the ultimate matchmaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And this whole thing of initiation really comes down. I always ask people, well, what do you think we're telling guys when we're telling them to man up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we telling them?
Take leadership. To fulfill what you've been created for.
To step into the role which you were created for. God created you with the purpose. Step up and show who God is.
Because mm-hmm. there's not the same sort of a saying for women, is there? We don't tell, woman up, girl. Girl up. You know, that would be, you just don't say
that.
That's
a good phrase.
Yeah. Man.
That's a good
Maybe
phrase.
Maybe we should. Girl up.
Yeah. And we will look at each other and say, no, that doesn't fit. Yeah, that doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit.
Right.
But it's because that has a very specific meaning.
Isn't it a reminder? Mm-hmm. It's a reminder that when you're getting lost in who you are, And another man will say to another man, man up, be understand.
Yeah.
This
mm-hmm.
is what you were created to be.
Right.
So I'm calling you to step up to a manhood, you know?
And you don't even need to be a believer.
No.
Because that's just an intuitive mm-hmm. thing. I mean, there's been a lot of articles, Carolyn, mm-hmm. Lately about the difficulties in manhood. I'm sure you've read some of them.
Yeah, especially in certain communities and subcultures where adult men aren't present for a variety of reasons. The younger men need that. They need the role model. And so I love it when I read about men who are sacrificing their time and energy and efforts to go into communities where younger men don't have those role models so that they can see this is what responsibility looks like. Mm-hmm. This is what benevolence looks like. I mean, one of my favorite phrases to describe masculinity is the benevolent masculinity, that initiative and that kindness that reflects God. And so there's mm-hmm. a leadership that's oriented towards serving others. Mm-hmm. And when we think about leadership, we put it in our American individualistic yeah. terms, our consumeristic mindset.
Take over,
and everybody's there to serve me.
We're authoritarian.
Me. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah. abusing authority, because yes. you've written so wonderfully in the chapter that authority, as Jesus defined it, was to serve. It
totally
was to bring others to be more conformed to mm-hmm. the image of God. It wasn't yeah. to conform people to your desires and your mm-hmm. pleasures and your mm-hmm. preferences. And so I love it when I see men who turn around and they notice the needs of others around them and they take the initiative to do something, whether it's to serve widows or orphans or to rebuke, you know, bad theology in the church or to care for others. I mean, that kind of initiative and serving is incredibly attractive.
Carolyn McCulley has been describing biblical masculinity in a discussion we're calling True Woman Table Talk. Karen Loritz and Kim Wagner were also part of that conversation. So were Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian, who have written a new workbook called True Woman 101, Divine Design. Today's conversation was based on Chapter 2 from that book, Looking at God's Design for Men. When men and women embrace their God-given design, the gospel is displayed in powerful ways. Whether you're married or single, you can be a part of showing the world what God is like by embracing biblical femininity. This new workbook, True Woman 101, will help you discover your design and to be the woman God wants you to be. The book was just released days ago, and you can order at a 20% discount this week. You can get your copy by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. And at the site, you can also find out more about using the True Woman 101 workbook and video in your small group. Again, just visit reviveourhearts.com. Today's guests, Mary, Kim, Karen, and Carolyn, have all been involved in True Woman events in the past. What you heard today is a small taste of the heart and the message you'll hear at the next conference coming in September. It's called True Woman 12, Seeking Him Together for Spiritual Awakening. Mary Cassian will be one of the plenary speakers, and she's here to talk about her excitement for the conference.
True Woman 2012, ladies, you need to come. It's going to be a lot of fun. Not only will it be fun with the girlfriends and good worship and good teaching and good instruction, but I think that you will receive nourishment for your soul. You're going to be challenged. You are going to be challenged in terms of how you do life as a woman, and you are also going to be challenged in terms of just making your life right with God, because I think that's what true womanhood is all about. And I think that's what we will be emphasizing at True Woman 2012, is the connection between saying yes to the Lord in terms of how you do your life as a woman, how that is connected really to spiritual revival and to revival in our homes and in our churches and communities and really in this land.
Mary Cassian is excited about True Woman 12. Other speakers include Janet Parshall, Johnny Erickson Tata, Priscilla Shire, Nancy Lee DeMoss, and many others. To get all the details on joining us in Indianapolis this September, visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, how can a woman encourage the men around her to provide and protect? True Woman Table Talk will pick back up tomorrow with that question. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.